James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. And that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is a double-minded and unstable in all they do. I'm so used to King James. Amen, amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you for raising us up, allowing us to come together. And we just pray, dear Father, that as we're here together in this house, in this place, whether here in person, online, listening, or even on repeat, listening to the recording, Lord, that the message that you have for us to hear, that we might be able to hear it. Help us, dear Lord, as we go through the different struggles of this life, the challenges that all of us face in different degrees and different ways. But yet, Lord, we know we have a constant, and our constant is you. You are a rock. You are a foundation. You are a shelter in a time of storm. Lord, you are our all in all. And we pray that we might look to you, that we might rest in you, that we might trust you despite what things look like in our lives, that all this, the storms that are coming our way, Lord, that we might find refuge in you, trusting you, serving you, living for you each and every day. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us, Lord. Allow us to hear what you need us to hear and put into practice what we ought to put in practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wisdom from above, how to make sound decisions. Every day we wake up and we're faced with decisions big and small. You know, we had to decide what to put on this morning. You know, not too big a deal, but nevertheless, it's a decision that we have to make. And there are other times where it's very challenging to try to figure out what decision to make. You know, I remember many of you know, for a little while, I was a single father, raising my son Angel, and until I was able to find my beautiful wife, and we put all this thing together by the help of God, of course. But there was a time when, you know, when I was raising, I wasn't really making a lot of money. I hadn't graduated college. I at that moment, I was just trying to make it. I was just trying to make it. I took an entry-level job as a temporary associate in a bank. And I started off Beneficial Bank, then became Household Bank, and fast forward later became HSBC. But I took an entry-level job there in the collections department. And by the grace of God, I started advancing. Started getting a little pay increases and all that. And it came to a moment after a couple years that they said, look, we look at you as management, you know, material, and we want to put you through this program, this management program. And I said, okay, great. As a young man, I'm ready, excited. Let's go. Let's move on. And they said it was going to come with more money. I said, hallelujah. Come on, let's go. And so I went through the program. Now, the first, one of the stipulations of being part of this program was after you complete it, they were going to assign you somewhere, and you didn't have a choice in your hours and the days or anything like that. They were going to assign you to a unit. You would be the unit supervisor of that unit, and really, you didn't have a choice. I took it understanding that, and I was early in my... As I came back to the Lord and was really trying to serve the Lord and live for the Lord, and so I took the job understanding that they could give me anything. But I just believed. Yeah, I'm like one of them guys. I'll step out on faith, and I'll be out there on the loan just knowing, Lord, you're going to handle this, and I know you're going to handle it. And so I just knew, look, after this is over with, the Lord's going to give me a Monday through Friday position, 8 to 5, you know, whatever it was. That's just the faith I had. Well, the Lord has something else to say. After completion of the program, of the training, and now they said, you are going to be a customer service manager working Saturday to Wednesday. And not only that, not only the days, but the hours. And it was like a night graveyard kind of shift, all that kind of stuff. And I go, I'm a single father. And I'm a Christian now. Now I'm a Christian and a single father, and this is going to impede my ability to really take care of my child the way he needed to be taken care of. This is going to stop me from being able to come to church Sundays, Wednesdays. At that moment, you know, I was involved. When I get a part of something, I just get involved. So I was involved already in the church, and I said, well, this is going to mess all that up. And it was one of the moments that I'm sitting, but they also put a few figures on there too and said, doesn't that look nice? And it looked nice. And I'm sitting here scratching my head going, what do I do? What do I do? And so I take it to the Lord in prayer. And I didn't hear much. And I had to stand on God's convictions. And I said, you know what? I can't. I just can't. And so I went back to the people who from the beginning told me, you don't have a choice. If you put this one, then, you know, then nobody, all the other, my peers and everyone else who went through the program, they all got that placed in these other areas. And they were supervisors, and they were making better money and all of that. And I went to them and said, I'm sorry, I can't. Like, what? This hasn't happened before. I said, you know, the hours and all that. Is there anything else? I mean, do you have another opportunity? There is no other opportunity. So with the training, with all of that, with all the, you know, they have my name and all over the place, and all of a sudden I had to go back to my old department, sit back in my old seat and do my old things once again, go back to my old pay. It was tough. It hurt, but at the same time, I was standing on my convictions. I knew I couldn't do something to, you know, different than what I believe God wanted me to do. And so I was back in my department. And then fast forward about a year, an opening came up right in the same department I was in. My supervisor was being promoted to a area manager, and so now there's an open spot. I've gone through the training already. They already know my work ethic. They already knew that I was a producer, and they moved me right into a Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m. job. That's when I believe, like the saying goes, he may not come when you want him, but it'll be there, what? Right on time. He's an on-time God. Decisions are tough, and we are bombarded because there's just something called, there's godly wisdom. Obviously, we're going to be really focused and talking about godly wisdom, but then there's this other wisdom that's out there called the wisdom of the world. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to try to figure out which is which. Let's look at this a little bit. James says, if you lack wisdom, and obviously we're talking about godly wisdom, not the world's wisdom. If you lack godly wisdom, you should ask who? You should ask God, who gives to all generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you, will be given to you. God wants us to be wise. God desires us to know his will and to want to act according to his will. And it says that he doesn't find fault. He's not looking at you and going, how dumb are you that you have to come to me and ask me this? He doesn't look down upon us because we don't know. Well, he desires that we come to him for the answers. And he promises that if we do, he will give it to us. Now, once again, that doesn't mean that it's an instantaneous thing. You go on to Google and put a thing in, you're going to get some results instantaneously. But just like in my prayer to the Lord to help me, and I didn't really know what was going on, but I was going to stand on the convictions of God. And then in a year later, wow, he comes through. But it says, but when you ask, you must believe, you must not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Why is this doubt such a problem? The doubt is because what are we doing? We're projecting that to God. You know, and so when we come to God, we have to understand who God is. We understand that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-sufficient. We know that we're going to someone who has all of the answers. It is very much like when you get jammed up with something, maybe a legal issue and all of that. You don't go to your doctor for that information. You don't go to your neighbor for that information unless your neighbor just happens to be a lawyer. No, you want to go to someone. You want to go to someone reputable. You want to look on Yelp or whatever these things are to be able to see who. I mean, but you want to go to someone who has that capacity to be able to help you. When we go to God, we have to understand that he can help. And not just that he can help, we've got to believe that he will help. He will give us the information, the godly information that we need in order to make the right decision. Now, we may not always use it, but he's going to give it. He's going to give it. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to make sound decisions, discern truth from error, and understand the ways of God. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective, from us being able to look at God's perspective and then wanting to apply it in our lives. It's something that is highly valued in the Bible and throughout history, and we want to look at how we can acquire it and how we can use wisdom to help us. Proverbs 4:7-9 says, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs you all that you have, get understanding, esteeming her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. When we talk about wisdom, we're not talking about knowledge, men's knowledge. We're talking about seeking God's wisdom. Where do we find God's wisdom? Right here, his word. Right. This is one source. This is the primary source of wisdom. Now, God also, I believe God works through us even through experiences and helps develop us even through experiences. James chapter 1, he works with us even through this, giving us perseverance, through trials and things of that nature. But primarily, there's a source that we have to point back to, and it's found right here in the word of Almighty God. And so if we want to know, first and foremost, one of the things we need to do is start investing in time in learning more about God. Because as we learn more about God, it changes our perspective. See, we come with our own thoughts and with our own ideas and all of that. But God, what God wants is for us to adopt his view on whatever the matter is. Amen? The world says, look, this is right and this is wrong, but what do we ought to do? What does God say? What does God say about marriage? What does God say about raising children? What does God say about our sexuality? What is God? I know the world says this. I know Dr. Ruth says that. I know y'all remember Dr. Ruth, right? All right. I'm talking to the right crowd, right? I know I look young, but I still got gray too. But the world says these things, but what does God say? And so, and that's what we want to base our whole life, our whole foundation on those things. The writer says here, wisdom is supreme. That means this is the most important thing we ought to do, is get it. He says, though it costs you everything, because it's so valuable, Even if it's a great investment in order to go and find godly wisdom, because it's going to bless and enhance your life. How? Man, making wise decisions, you don't put yourself in much of harm's way, right? If you make wise decisions, if I'm living a life, I don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about me being up at 3 a.m. and catch Brother Ray is coming out of somewhere at 3 a.m. No, wisdom says stay your butt home and sleep and lay right there with your wife and stay there. Right? This is what God, be faithful to yours, and you won't have to worry about some of these other things. That's what God wants. Practice godly wisdom, and if you do so, it's going to reward you with a certain type of life. I don't worry about a cop being behind me. I mean, I do check the speed, make sure it's right. But what does it say about the wicked? The wicked, they flee even when no one's pursuing them, right? Why is that? They're not practicing wisdom, godly wisdom. They're not living in godly wisdom. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs you everything you have, get understanding. And that's the other part of it. Because a lot of times I think when we think of wisdom, we only think of knowledge, information. Information isn't enough. I know some wise people who got that know a whole lot of scripture. Matter of fact, it says what? The demons, the devils, they believe, they tremble, they know the word of God. That Satan tried to tempt Jesus with the word of God. They know the word of God. It doesn't make you holy. It doesn't make you right. It doesn't make you wise, truly wise in God's ways. No, true wisdom is that knowledge of what God's will is and then the application in our lives. And it makes the difference when we start applying what God says. Matter of fact, when we don't, it's going to be evident in our lives. There's a peace that we're not going to be able to have. There's a quality of life that we won't be able to have if we're not applying that wisdom. And it says it right there, if you esteem her, she's going to exalt you. She's going to embrace you. Wisdom will honor you. She will be a garland of grace on your head, present you with a crown of splendor. That's how important wisdom is. It's more valuable than anything, worth sacrificing everything else in order to get it, because wisdom will bless our lives. How do we get wisdom? Well, as we looked at earlier, if you lack it, ask of God. Ask of God. You know, I think we're in a time, a special time. And there used to be, you would have to scour over libraries of books. You know, I've got a library, all these different books. I just like books, but I'm gonna tell you the truth. I don't read all the books on the shelves. Matter of fact, most of my reading nowadays is right here, on a computer or phone or you know, something online. I used to have this program, Logos, and all this kind of stuff. And every book I ever want is loaded right inside there. Why I say that? I mean, this is a time where information, it's accessible at any moment. And yet with all this information, that doesn't mean the quality of our lives is greatly enhanced so much, right? No, because why? Because we not only do we have to get the right information, we've got to start practicing what it says. And that's the most challenging part, always. Get wisdom. Seek it. Read in this word. And when we do, you know, I don't know about you, when you have a question, I was sharing with you guys, matter of fact, last week about my back. And I was hurting and I was in pain. And guess what it drove me to do? Me and Brother King were talking about this a few times. We're scouring, we're looking for answers. Help me, help me. And I didn't know nothing about the SI joints. I sure know about it now. I still can't pronounce it. I'll ask some of the brothers to help me pronounce it later. But I know one thing. I know enough now what exercises do to help me, what area to stretch me, you know, I not only sought out the information, but I applied the information. And when I applied the information, it blessed me. It helped me. And that's what wisdom does to us. As we're seeking out God's will for our lives, and then we're looking at it, and we're taking it in, and we're receiving it. And as we are start applying it, it blesses our lives. It exalts us. How do we apply this wisdom? Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." One of the things, once again, a few weeks ago, brought us a message on transformation, being renewed by the spirit of our mind, Romans 12:2, and all that. And one of the beautiful things about that scripture is really what it's telling us. God wants to do an upgrade in our minds. God wants to transform our way of thinking. God wants us to remove our will, our desires, and replace it with his will. But in order to know his will, we've got to seek out his will. He gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. But you got to put yourself in a place to be able to receive that knowledge and understanding. It just doesn't happen. Look, listen, it just doesn't happen just coming to on Sunday services once a week. I'm sorry. And I'm encouraging, continue coming to Sunday services. That's not enough. Oh, you say, well, not only do I come on Sunday, I also come on Wednesday. Awesome. Amen to that. I want to encourage you to continue doing that. Great, but then what? Do we leave and then close the book, and then that's it? No, this needs to be a discipline in our lives, that we're seeking God's face continually. We're wanting to know his will continually. That this is a part of our life. This is just who we are, right? And as we apply these things, it becomes ingrained in part of who you are. You know, the brother was saying some nice things about me. Thank you. That feels good and all that. But I'll tell you what, I just do what I do because this is what God has given me. I'm not trying to make a name for myself or anything like that. I just want to serve. And we ought to just, but that comes because of things that have been instilled continually over and over again. I see my parents, and I'm going to have to give a shout out to my mom, who was a servant. I've seen it all my life, serving us, serving others, helping and blessing others, in trusting the word of God and planting it in our lives. And then, of course, as I came to a relationship with the Lord myself, not because of what mama said or what dad said or anything like that, but because of now this is time for me to make a decision for the Lord. And as the word was fed in me and started to transform my mind, God starts to give enlightenment and open your eyes to something bigger than what this world has to offer. See, because what the world offers is temporal. Money is here for a little while and it's gone. Your possessions are here for a while and it's gone. Your friends are here for a while and it's gone. I mean, everything that we see around us at some point is going to be burned up. And what truly matters is what truly matters, is what's going to matter in eternity, what's going to matter before God. And those are the things that we ought to be seeking. And so the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. But yet we have to be seekers of it. We have to be those that are thirsty, like the deer that's panting by the river. But we have to have that same thirst for the word of God and for his things rather than just the things of this world. And lastly, let us look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. That's a good bumper sticker just right there, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh, shout, amen, brother. Amen. Lean not to your own understanding.
Right?
This isn't about your intellect. This isn't about your will. This isn't about how smart you are or how much scripture. Lean not to your own understanding. Not the way I think things will be and it will go and me. No, lean not into your own understanding. But in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. What's he going to do? He's going to, look, I don't know the way to go without the Lord. I don't know. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I stray and fall off the path many times. But I know I'm this is how smart I am. I'm smart to know that when I'm over here, I'm like, I got to get back over here. Oh, I'm off. Let me get back on the right path. Let me get back. Look, we all fall. We all make mistakes. We all get off course and all that. But there's something that just moves us back. And I go, you know what? I need to get right back on the right path. And what does it usually do to get me back on the path? I have to renounce my wisdom, my thinking, the way I want it, the way I think about it, the way, and go back to the basics. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, help us. Help us, dear Lord, as we make godly decisions, as we seek you, seek your direction. Help us, dear Lord, as this world oftentimes throws so many messages at us that it's confusing. Lord, you were true. Your word is true. We pray that we might go to you for all things, Lord. And that even in the times where we fail and we fall off course, Lord, that we might be drawn back to your will, that we might relinquish our own ingenuity, our own intellect, and that we might trust in you. Like Naaman, the leper, Lord, who thought that his leprosy could be cured in some magical way, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, you just give us the simple things to do. And if we simply do the simple things, you will bless us. You will cleanse us. You will help us. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we thank you for your grace and mercy that helps us in our times of failure. Bless us, Lord. Continue to work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. Maybe you haven't made that decision yet, the best decision that you could ever make to include Jesus Christ, in your life, but to recognize his preeminence, his place in our lives. And I just want to read this in Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. It says, "See then that you work circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Maybe there's someone here who's you've been, or maybe online, you've been listening. You know what you need to do. You know you need to surrender to Jesus Christ. You know you need to be buried in the water grave of baptism, that he might be able to wash away your sins. And yet you still haven't been acting. You haven't applied what you know. This is your moment. Look, the time goes quickly. So you've got to redeem it. You've got to make the most of every opportunity. And if you're here right now and you know, look, I haven't surrendered to Jesus. I haven't given my life to him. I haven't surrendered in baptism and allowed him to wash away my sins. This is your moment to redeem that time. This is your moment to make a decision for him. This is your moment to come and surrender to Jesus Christ. Allow him to wash away your sins. If you're ready to make that decision, We're ready. We've got clothes that's ready. There's a baptistry that's nice and warm. I know it's cold outside. This baptistry's been warm. Heater been on every day. Every day it's on. Because we just believe that somebody is ready and wants to come to surrender to Jesus Christ. We've got clothes. We've got towels. We've even got something. If you got your hairdo, we got something to put on your head. Everything is ready. God is ready. The angels are ready. Are you ready? This is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Are you ready to apply wisdom this morning? If you're ready to do so, why don't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.